flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
David Rubenstein, owner of the Baltimore Orioles, talking to Yahoo Finance, and he says the team's in pretty good shape right now. It's been an interesting offseason. They have now. There's two sides of this coin. They have spent some money, but they have not made any long term commitments.
It's no real commitments. Nothing that's not off his books in a matter of months. Or again, to our buddy Jim Bones' point, if Tyler O'Neill comes back. Look out, brother. Yeah. Look out. You better hope it's a 1 year deal. Color me a little dismayed because I wanted to believe that this was going to be different and significantly different. And I think we have some older clips of him. This guy came in guns a blazing. He came in gangbusters talking a lot of talk. And throwing around World Series and throwing around words like we're going to compete. And I know that this town hasn't had it around here in 83. And then they've done nothing but plug a few holes with bubblegum. And he's saying, well, I think we're okay. Well, is that the standard? I didn't think that was the standard.
Here's David Rubenstein a year ago.
So what I hope to do is to make sure this is not the high watermark. Today is an easy day to say everything is great and hopefully we'll win opening day. But I don't want this to be the high water mark. I want the high water mark to be in the fall when we go to the World Series and we show we are a city that supports a great team and we are a city that is represented by a great team and we unify the city in ways that only the Orioles can really do.
So balance that, Ben. Now play cut 54. David Rubenstein talking to Yahoo Finance. He's advocating for salary cap.
Well, I wish it would be the case that we would have a salary cap in baseball the way other sports do, and maybe eventually we will, but we don't have that now. So what we have is a luxury tax in effect. So if you go over and higher payroll, with a higher payroll, you have to pay a penalty in effect or something that goes to the other teams. It's not a perfect system. It's better than nothing. But at some point, I suspect we'll probably have something closer to what the NFL and the NBA have, but there's no guarantee of that.
So that's less than a year later.
Somebody fly to Davos and play the world's tiniest violin for this guy.
Yeah. It's hard to... We expected so much more this offseason. And I think even the biggest Orioles fan drinking all of the Kool-Aid, there hasn't been the splash. We've been waiting for a long-term contract extension from within. Yes, you're right, Ken. They've spent money. And right now, they're dead in the middle of payroll, 15th in payroll for the season. But I guess, Jason, I just wonder this, because you brought up this theory too. Clearly, Rubenstein has empowered Mike Elias somewhat in the new payroll. But how it's being spent, He seems to be a very hands-off owner thus far, letting the baseball operations handle baseball operations. So is this more Rubenstein or is this Elias is my question.
They just signed Dylan Carlson to a one-year Major League deal outfielder.
That's actually kind of interesting.
He's 26 years old.
He's a big-time prospect with the Cardinals, yes. And they can't get any of their hitters to hit. So maybe, I mean, look, Arozarena was once a Cardinals big prospect mm-hmm. who they couldn't get to hit, and they traded, sold low on him.
So was the kid in Texas. Who
Tyler O'Neill, yeah. I believe, was once a St. Louis Cardinals outfielder they couldn't get to hit or stay healthy. This sounds like Angelos to me. I get everything you're saying,
you get
Bone.
What I'm saying though,
but I get what you're saying, but I don't care. Is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like this sounds like Angelos. You bought the team under this economic model. Didn't he come in with a lease done for him, a sweetheart lease?
Yes.
Didn't he come in with $600 million coming to him from the state?
Yes,
for the stadium. Yes.
I don't want to hear you bitch about the salary cap, Holmes. You bought the Magna Carta. Like I mean, what are we? What? Why can't we just have normal stuff here?
Yeah.
Right? Why can't we have first world pro sports normal stuff? How about you go and sign a real contract? How about you bitch about this after you sign Adley or Gunner? Or do something of real significance to the long-term construction of your team? How did we get from, don't judge me on this moment, don't judge me on regular season wins, judge us on the October roster we built and we want to be great there, to doing nothing in the offseason and saying, well, I think it's still probably okay, but even I'm not going to sit here and lie to you about it, to, oh, yeah, and the salary cap's a problem. Dude!
We have a poll brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Lunch deals Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Can't stop in. Order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event. We're weeks away from pitchers and catchers. Orioles signed no free agent to multi-year deal in the front office, yet to extend a homegrown player. New owners already whining about the lack of salary cap and MLB's economic system. What do you think, Birdland? Close to 300 votes already. IA 105.7 The Fan is how you can vote. Big deal, 64.9%. Little deal, 22%. No deal, 13.1%.
It's a big deal because he said it. And it's also because he said it less than a year after he said the other thing. He said the other thing in April.
How did we get here?
Or late March.
How did we get here?
It's weird. You want to hear his thoughts on his payroll compared to LA and New York?
Sure.
That's cut 50, Beltway Ben. Let's hear David Rubenstein on that.
Spending the most money doesn't always guarantee you a World Series championship. And in fact, many times people with smaller payrolls have won the World Series. So clearly there's an advantage for the bigger cities in some respects, not all respects. But I think our team has a good morale. We've got a good manager, good general manager. I'm reasonably optimistic we're going to do well this year.
He's deferring.
Look, the Mets and the Rangers are bigger market teams than the Orioles. I'm not going to argue that. It would be silly to do so. It's not just about the Marcus Semien deals, or it's not just about the Lindor deals or the Soto deals. It's about them getting Manaea and Eovaldi at their number, and this GM and this, and I got to lump the owner in too. This owner to this point not being willing to do real 3-year deals for number two starters who at least come in with a better profile than anything you have and are under the age of 36.
Well, and Jason, going a step further, you can look at the small market teams that have given out extensions like the Rays and the Pirates and the Guardians and all of those smaller market teams than Baltimore that were proactive in giving those contracts. We just had Jim Bolden on last week, and he said pretty much verbatim, I'd be concerned right now the longer you're letting
you're killing your window.
Exactly.
And here's the thing. If you want to be surrounded by a bunch of billionaires in Davos, Switzerland, in the Alps, bitching about baseball's economics.
Is that where this
yes.
took place?
Yeah. How about you do it after you do something that hurts? Like, how about you dip in your pocket for more than throwing hats at people, right? Like, you actually do something that's more significant than the Eovaldi contract or the Cobb contract or, God, I even bring it up, the Chris Davis.
Gallardo.
How about you do that before you start whining about woe is us? Is that too much for me to ask? Like, Tyler O'Neill and Gary Sanchez and the Japanese guy nobody's ever heard of and 41-year-old Charlie Morton doesn't give you the right
Andrew
to start
Kittredge,
bemoaning
Jason.
The state of baseball economics. You've never done anything that hurts remotely economically historically or from a prospect giving up standpoint. Yet this is where we are 2 weeks before pitchers and catchers.
Kittredge and Dylan Carlson, Jason, he might have known that was in the hopper, though you didn't. And they get that stuff. And where is it? Davos? Is that where? Davos, Switzerland? Yeah. He might have gotten that the Carlson thing ahead of time. So he knew that, too.
How about you trade the Magna Carta and Heston Kerstad for a real pitcher? How about we do that?
That might hurt you a little bit. How much trade value do you think the Magna Carta has?
How much trade value do you think Gary Sanchez has?
I bet you the Magna Carta has more.
Somebody pay Tyler 20. O'Neill, what do you think you could trade him for right now?
What do you pay? $22 million and it's priceless. Gary Sanchez is an older backup catcher. I'm taking the Magna Carta. Bet you the Magna Carta can frame pitches better.
It's probably got better. Yeah, it's probably got better Statcast numbers.
Anyway, coming up next, we started this discussion last week, but really a lot of things were going on. We really couldn't give it the time it deserved. And so all the young dudes, and we've got a list of guys, Heston Kerstad, Kobe Mayo, Cade Povich, Jackson Holliday. Who are we most confident?
Throw in anybody else you want. You want to throw Dylan Carlson? What's he, 26? You want to throw
him in 26.
There? Daz Cameron, 28. He's probably a little too old.
He's not really a prospect, yeah. But is there a young, let's say, all the young dudes, is there a young dude you're confident makes an impact this season? We'll discuss next here on the...
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a cut and miss. Challenged him there with 95 and got it by him.
That's why that pitch has special attributes, because you can go back on 3-1 and full count and just rush it right through the middle of the zone. And that ball was well over the swing of Holliday.
So Snell has his Snellzilla notebook. He's done his research. Mayo must be a fastball hunting young guy.
2-2 with two down. And he struck him out.
So some lowlights there from Bally Sports South and NBC Sports Bay Area. You heard Bo Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo getting struck out in baseball games. And so that leads us to a conversation we started to have on Friday. And as Jason said, you want to throw Sam Basayo in the mix? Go ahead. Throw
Chase
Sam
McDermott.
Chase McDermott. We can throw Chase McDermott. Any legitimate quote-unquote prospects. So the guys we talked about Friday, Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo, Heston Kerstad, Cade Povich. Anybody there you're confident going to make an impact?
Part of my concern is, and well done, Beltway Ben Hall, is not just that they struck out, but that these guys couldn't hit fastballs. Like that, like if you're Kowser and you can destroy a fastball and you go half the year and you can't hit a changeup, like, and you play the defense he was playing, it's going to, like, there'll be times where I'm like, please pinch hit for this guy based on the pitcher they're facing. But like, I get it. My problem with these two is I don't know about defense for either of them. And if you can't hit elevated heat, you know, you're done. You're cooked. As a young hitter, you're cooked. And it was really bad. Like, it wasn't just bad. Like, it was horrible for both of them for long stretches. Like, you can try to sugarcoat it. The mind's eye can play tricks on you. Go back and look at, just start flipping through the box scores and just start looking at, you know, the stat cast and clicking on some of the at-bats. Like, it was bad. And did Jackson Holliday tweak his toe tap and maybe get a little better very, very late in the year? Maybe, but we're grading on an extreme curve. And the bottom line is, we all would have chopped off a pinky toe to get Jorge Mateo back in that lineup for the playoffs. So I'm not sold on any of them. I just got to be honest with you. I'm not sold on any of them making a mark. The one I'm most intrigued by is Povich, and I think he'll be buried, and I think he'll be stuck in Norfolk, and I think they'll jerk him around, and by the time they get around to moving him to the pen full-time, they'll have wasted months where they could have done it at the AAA level, and he'll just be another one of these depth guys who, well, we'll see what we have when we get there, not having a real plan for him, and then when he gets here, he'll be yo-yoed, and it might be a role that he was never in before. See D.L. Hall, see a long list of them. So I'm not sold on any of them. They all have holes in their swing. They all have major things to overcome. And I'm not convinced, as much as they're seemingly untouchable, that the geniuses in the warehouse are actually totally sold on them. Because I think they've set this up for uber platoons everywhere. They're hedging their bets everywhere. Well, they just hedged it again. Dylan Carlson is another hedge of a bet. That's what they've done.
The platoons are disgusting, and it seems like we're heading there again.
Of that group, I still lean Jackson, who will be in a platoon with Jorge Mateo. And the most alarming thing with Jackson, you mentioned the high heat, but he had such an elite strikeout to walk ratio throughout his minor league career. And even if you throw out the first stint where he was up here early in the year, he still struck out 51 times compared to just 13 walks.
It was ugly.
That being said, and you mentioned this last week, Kent, that was his first major adversity playing baseball.
First adversity. Like, he blew through the system.
And I expect that kid was working his ass off this entire offseason. And you can even go back to the draft process where he was never seen as a number one overall pick until it put in all the work and lifting, and obviously with his dad. I think he is going to be better this year. Granted, it's a low bar, but I'm buying the upside with him.
Yeah, to clarify, I'm not sold on any of these guys, but the fact of the matter is, the one I'm most confident in is Holliday, because he's 21 years old, and I think the hit tool is there. Now, his defense, that's another story. I'm not completely convinced that, like, what Kobe Mayo is, but I feel like Jackson Holliday's got time on his side. Now, granted, they did him no favors a year ago, and that's more organizational. Like, he should have started the year with the team. They tried to make it less of a deal, but it became a bigger deal the way they handled it, and he got swallowed. And I think that he didn't know. It was the first time in his life, probably, that he couldn't control what was going on in baseball, and I think it destroyed him. Now, he's had a whole offseason to work on this. I feel like he's going to be able to bounce back. The rest of them, I don't know.
And maybe this is just me being an optimist here, but
optimist bone.
He has to be heading into spring training and this season with a much higher comfort level. In terms, still hasn't played a ton at second base regardless, but yeah, he had played no second base heading into last
because
year.
Because they never have a plan.
No. I can't argue
Kobe
that.
Kobe Mayo's never played outfield. And Heston Kjerstad hasn't played as much outfield as I think any of us would have liked. And some of that was out of everybody's hands, and some of that is just bad luck. But it could also be that Kobe Mayo's best true value was in the past.
Yes.
It could be that Heston Kjerstad's best true value was in the past. And like, even a guy like Cade Povich, who, again, they're signing all these number four starters, so I guess Slim, you know, it's going to be Slim Pickens to make the team unless a bunch of guys get
well
hurt.
Done.
Even Slim, right? If he's back in Norfolk toiling in a league that he's too good for, what does that do for his value?
To your point.
So that's where, like, they still have no conviction in any of these kids. Trust me, they want Jorge Mateo back as bad as anybody. They need that security blanket behind this kid. Like, they need it desperately. But who are they? Who could they, like, as much as they don't want to trade any of them, you show me through their actions how they have absolutely created a path for any of them to be more likely than not to play every day in the major leagues.
No, to your point, this is what they do. This is kind of, that's why there's going to be all the platoons. And to your point, like, Cade Povich should be in the bullpen. That, like, he should
if
be.
If you're going to sign 9,000 30-year-old starting pitchers, then you should already have a role for him in the bullpen.
Correct.
But do you think they're going to create that?
I
they still got Keegan Aiken doing it, and he's not making any money yet. So, he's not going to get that role.
No. Yeah.
They're going to brag about, we've got 10 or 11 pitchers.
Deep depth.
They're going to brag about Rodgers and Slim and McDermott and their AAA rotation, and that's not going to help them win any games up here. And when they get up here, it's probably going to be for a role they're not used to, and you can rinse, wash, repeat.
Coming up next,
I'd take Joey Ortiz over anybody we talked about in this segment. To win me a baseball game tomorrow, to be my opening day second baseman, I'd take Joey Ortiz. I'd play him every day at second base.
Unfortunately,
if he were here.
He's in Milwaukee.
He got traded for 30 starts to Corbin Burns, who never had any intention of bringing back.
Nope.
But maybe there'll be a salary cap one day, and it'll make it all better.
Coming up next, we premiere a new segment. It's Bone Work. We'll explain next here on The Fan. Great work from Jerry O'Brien there.
He's the best.
We asked him to help us out with that and put that together, lickety split.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, bing, bam, boom.
He delivers.
So just an explanation, and I've said this many times, that you could write a book with stuff Bone don't know.
Correct.
So with that in mind, and I think this came to the fore maybe more off the air than on about the stuff that Bone didn't know, and so we've decided to create this segment of things we're going to try to teach the Bone.
To educate him.
Yes, because he should know things.
Yes.
And he knows nothing.
Get him a little more up to speed.
Yes.
Or at least if you were ever to date an older gal, maybe you'd have more in common with her.
By the way, how was Godfather 2, Bone?
Godfather 2 was good. I'll admit I liked one more.
Well, that's fair. They're both one best picture, but I liked two more.
I felt like two, there was more dead time. The last 40 minutes.
Two was more dead time?
The last 40 minutes was nuts. That's where I was like, I was glued in. But it was interesting, like, in the backstory of Vito compared to Mike and
Bobby D.
It was really good. I'm glad that I finally have watched both of them.
Your dad's probably proud of you that you watched them.
He probably is. Yeah. I probably won't watch three, though.
You don't need to watch three.
Yeah, need to watch three.
You've seen all the real stuff. So in that intro, there's a Diamond Dave reference. Do you know what that is in reference to?
That's David Lee Roth.
That is David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
Who, it just came out today, or at least I just saw it today, is coming out of retirement to play the M3 Festival Sunday, May 4th at Merriweather Post Pavilion.
Which is news to Bone, who thought he was dead.
He thought he was dead.
I thought David Lee Roth was dead. Yeah.
And you thought Eddie Van Halen was dead, too.
Well, alive.
No, he thought he was alive. Yeah. He was dead.
Yeah. Oh, correct. Yeah, right. Yeah.
David Lee Roth has lived a life. That's why I just assume that...
No, he's in great shape. He puts out all these crazy dance videos on YouTube.
One's body can't really withstand decades of that.
I don't know what it's going to take to kill Diamond Dave, and hopefully we never find out.
No, live forever.
Yeah. So we think we'll start with movies here since we've been on a movie. You've been doing your movie homework
club.
With your friends, movie club.
And we have book club, which we don't read any books. And that's more
tomorrow, right?
Yes, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's not going back to the classics.
No. That's all.
This is to fill gaps in spots you're missing.
Yes.
And a lot of blind spots.
And I haven't seen a lot of major movies.
Right. So what we're thinking is I will sort of whittle this down to two for me, two from GG.
Yeah.
We will put this in a poll. The people would have 24 hours to vote on this.
Yes.
The winner becomes your assignment. And then, I mean, do you think we should give them till Monday or Friday? That's the, like, how do we bookend this?
I think we give them the weekend.
So we come back next Monday.
Yes.
You review this one and we assign the next Bone Work.
Works for me.
I think that's how we do it.
We may have to adjust that during the football season.
Absolutely.
Mondays get very busy.
We're
6 months removed
from
that.
When we get to September, we adjust. But
Okay. Well, I since you're seeing like you've just seen the two real Godfather movies, I kind of was thinking I want to stay maybe in that vein because you're already there. And you know,
Goodfellas.
Well,
I was thinking more.
From that time frame, I'm thinking more 70s, and I'm thinking Taxi Driver.
I have not seen Taxi Driver.
Of course not.
Or Raging Bull.
I have not seen Raging Bull.
Well, do you know what's interesting?
Do you know anything about either of those movies?
I've heard... Well, weren't we talking about Taxi Driver?
Yes.
Where I thought it was the comedy, but that's
you thought
the
it was
show.
Taxi,
that's
the sitcom.
The show.
Yeah. With Danny DeVito.
But,
right.
Yes, I was aware.
Tony
Raging
Danza.
Bull, yeah. I'm going to be honest. I don't really know anything about
Jake LaMotta. Do you know who that is?
No.
A very abusive prize fighter.
Yeah.
It's shot in black and white, even though it was filmed at a time where color was the norm.
He doesn't know that.
Won many best pictures. You kind of got the first
best actor. That's,
to be that's, fair, this was released in 1980.
Okay. Well, it was 70s. Filmed in the 70s. Okay.
I think it's Scorsese.
Yes, it's Scorsese. And you get that sort of, to me, in some ways, it's a pre, I don't want to give away too much, but I guess I do have to kind
De Niro's
of sell,
in
I
it.
Do have to sell my movies. It's De Niro and it's
Pesci.
And it's that dynamic of big brother, little brother, and how that plays out. Like, well, it won't mean anything to you because you haven't seen Goodfellas.
No.
But when we get around to having you watch Goodfellas, I think you'll be like, even though those Raging Bull and Goodfellas weren't all that similar, that you could see the kernels of that relationship and how they play off each other on film.
So it's funny you went that direction because I am of a similar vein. So Robert De Niro, full disclosure, is my favorite actor.
Okay.
My favorite film of all time is Goodfellas. And it's based on the book Wise Guy by Nicholas Pileggi. And it's true. Like, based on Henry Hill's account of what happened in the mafia. They even were behind the Boston College point shaving scandal, mm-hmm. which is only mentioned really quickly in the movie. I won't give
Lufthansa
away.
Lufthansa gets much more of a run.
Yes, which is the greatest heist in American history, North American history. So Goodfellas, and then another book by Nicholas Pileggi about the mob going to Vegas is called Casino. Now, the names are changed in the movie, but there is a book about it as well. Casino is, and both of these movies are De Niro and Pesci.
You're not escaping De Niro in this mix.
Yeah.
One way or the other, you're getting more De-Niro-fied.
And three of the four have Pesci in a prominent role as well. So Pesci won.
And we did not compare notes.
No,
so this is not like we were going to make this the whole.
Yeah.
But I just thought coming out of you now starting to have an appreciation for some of these actors.
Makes sense.
And Goodfellas and some of these cinematographical geniuses.
Yeah.
Cinematographer Offalufflers.
Yes.
Nailed it.
You've seen none of these movies, correct?
I have seen none of them.
And you've heard what of these movies?
I mean, Goodfellas, I feel like, is a classic. I feel like everyone knows Goodfellas.
Should have won Best Picture.
I've heard of Casino, the Raging Bull thing. No, I've never heard of that.
There was one more on my list. It does not have Pesci, but it's a great movie. It's got De Niro and Pacino. It's called Heat, which is a great film done by Michael Mann about bank robbers. And Pacino plays the cop.
That would make sense for coming off Chiefs of Hollywood.
Yeah. So, but these guys were much more organized.
These guys were a little Chiefs
more organized.
Chiefs of Hollywood should absolutely be mentioned in this conversation.
Yeah.
It would have been a slight to Chiefsaholic if somehow it didn't come up in a conversation of these films caliber. That would have been shame on us.
Yeah,
so I'm glad we checked that box.
So how deep are we? Obviously, this week is just these movies, but we'll do movies. We'll do music. Is there any other
TV?
Yeah,
how do we do that?
TV would be tough.
He has to watch like the first five or six episodes or something.
Yeah.
He has to watch the beginning of the first season.
Almost everything is available on a streaming service now. Like, have you watched Breaking Bad, Bone?
I have not seen Breaking Bad.
But see, I'm not thinking Breaking Bad.
But I just meant for
I'm
example.
Thinking like All in the Family.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm thinking like things that.
How about Taxi? Seinfeld.
It could be Taxi. Things that change the way people thought about television.
Yes. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Right? Like, that's sort of where I am.
Okay.
Than Breaking Bad. I mean, Breaking Bad.
I just was giving an example. It's available on a streaming service.
He was in college when that.
Yeah. But he still didn't watch it.
No, I understand that. But I feel like we've got deeper and things, now, deeper reservoirs to fill.
Sure.
And I just don't know if I'm ever going to see Breaking Bad because I get intimidated when there's like so many seasons and episodes.
Just stop it. I get intimidated.
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Just stop. We get it.
And like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's like great pieces of sports literature. Like, maybe not like a book is going to be tough. But
yeah,
like,
okay. I'm
but
so certain,
bone read.
But yeah.
I try. Yeah.
Like the stuff Richard Ben Kramer did in Sports Illustrated when he was following Cal around going into the streak, or like John Updike, Hub fans bid kid adieu, like what Updike wrote about Ted Williams' last at bat, which I get I get, every time I think about it, I get like
goosebumps.
Just amazing, like, you know, only like 8,000 people in the stands. Of course, he hits a home run off of John Miller from the Orioles, not the broadcaster, the pitcher, in his last at-bat. But anyway, I think there's stuff like that where we could help edify you. But again, I don't know if people are going to know that stuff as much or vote as much on it. So I don't know. Maybe
I think
sometimes,
keep it more mainstream.
Maybe sometimes we just do it ourselves. Maybe that week there is no poll.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, you need to go, read what Richard Ben Kramer wrote in whatever SI that was.
I'm guessing out of this bunch, Goodfellas is going to win.
Well, we'll see what the people say.
I know. I'm curious. That's why I think Goodfellas
I'm
going to
cross out Heat and stay with Casino and Goodfellas because they sort of have a theme together. And it's the same star, the two stars. Or the Pesci won an Oscar for Goodfellas. That's where I will stick.
All right, so I'm going to put the poll out.
Yes.
And then tomorrow we will...
We will announce what you're going to watch.
The results when they're in of what you're going to watch.
Yes.
And then you'll have to report on Monday.
Works for me.
Beltway Ben, if you want to partake in this and compare notes or do anything.
Yeah. Beltway Ben, have you seen any of these films?
I'll be honest with you. I watch sports. You guys know that. I don't.
Right. So you don't have to. No obligation. Yeah. If you feel like hopping in.
If you guys want me to jump in, I will.
It's totally up to you.
Maddie Molly.
We barely pay you Maddie by the Molly. Hour. We can't go around actually making you do. Like, I don't know how you subsist on what's going on here in real time. We can't add more to your plate. But if you get bored or whatever, you know, and you do want to chime in, or you happen to do it, and you're like, oh, I thought that was awesome, or oh, I thought that stunk, or he says something, and you're like, oh, I had the complete opposite reaction.
Yeah, if you want to be entertained, maybe date night or something, you can watch.
Yeah, if you want to throw a bone to, your better half,
please
say, hey. She doesn't have to know it's a bad slate of college basketball games. And, hey, it's a great movie I heard about. Although none of these would really be great for a date.
Yeah.
I don't know about any of these.
Honey,
none of these would be good for a date.
Movie?
Yeah, none of these would be great for a date night.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not Taxi Driver or Raging Bull.
Yeah, or Goodfellas or Casino.
Yeah, but really none of the above.
Yeah.
So scratch that.
Yeah. But maybe you got a surprise out of it. I know Margie enjoyed Goodfellas. She hates violence. So.
I was about to say. Yeah. I thought she...
The opening scene is sort of...
Oh.
Yeah, I won't give it away. Please. But anyway, you're going to put the poll up, Jason?
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, so the four choices are Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Casino, or Goodfellas. You'll have 24 hours to vote. You, the people, go to IA1057 The Fan to vote. The winning vote tally decides Bonework. Or Bones Homework, which is Bone Work. Same thing. Hey, coming up next, more Bone. It's TMI, TIM. What you got?
We're going to get back into the Chiefs, and they're on the cusp of doing something that has never been done before, a three-peat. They're going to their fifth Super Bowl in 6 years. That has never been done. Could Patrick Mahomes really chase down Tom Brady? We'll get into it next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
The Chiefs really are inevitable. Making it to the Super Bowl in 5 out of the last 6 years. You look across the other professional sports, major professional sports in America, the only two other instances of teams going 5 out of 6 years to the championship, the Warriors... 2015 through 2019, in this century, I should say. And the Yankees, where part of it was at the end of the 90s into the early 2000s. Yeah. What the Chiefs are doing, and especially in a league like the NFL, where this isn't normal.
It's built on parity.
And for it to happen immediately after the Patriots makes it that much more insane to me, guys, because this is... typically one of those once-in-a-generation type things, and we just saw it with Tom Brady in New England. And I'm not even one of those guys. Comparing numbers across eras are so difficult, especially at the quarterback position. But you look at Patrick Mahomes, his first 112 games compared to Brady's 112 games, he has more wins than Brady. He has three more wins than Tom Brady. And he's got an opportunity to have one more championship than him. He has more Pro Bowls, more All-Pros, more MVPs. He already has more Super Bowl MVPs. And what's even crazier, guys, they traded away Tyreek Hill, and they've gone to three straight Super Bowls since they've traded him away.
They don't need no stinking Tyreek Hill.
No. And you brought this up last week, Jason, about Andy Reid. Andy Reid, including playoffs, has 301 wins.
Mm-hmm.
He's 47 wins away from topping Don Shula.
And he's winning 15 games a year in the regular season.
And his quarterback is 29. He's not even 30 yet. He's got 17 wins in the postseason, which tied Montana. Brady picked up his 17th win when he was 35 years old, which that's even more of a Tom Brady stat considering he finished with 35.
It's two dynasties in one.
It's two Hall of Fame careers in one.
Yes.
But where Tom Brady just seemed like the unreachable star, if Mahomes and
I tried to tell somebody in this room a year ago, he's out Brady-ing Brady.
If Mahomes and the Chiefs win this, like, you can't limit that.
Even if they don't, it's still five Super Bowls in 6 years.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's still he's 3-2 in Super Bowls, and he's not even a year from being 30 years old yet.
I know, and it's the rosters change, but as long as you have Mahomes, and if you're Andy Reid, why are you even thinking about retiring at any point moving forward? As long as you have that duo, they're going to be in it every single year. Seven straight AFC championships.
Look, I would put a couple bucks on them to go back to the Super Bowl next year. Like, why wouldn't you? To have the most wins in the NFL. Like, they excel at the most difficult to quantify yet most important thing of all in this ultimate team sport. How to do just exactly what it takes to win a football game. Whether it's low scoring, whether it's high scoring, whether it's played in the mid-teens, whether it's played in the mid-30s, whether it's played in snow, whether it's played in Arrowhead, whether it's played in Baltimore, whether it's blistering hot, whether it's freezing cold.
And they never beat themselves.
And to this point, he's been ungodly healthy. They have never had to play an extended stretch of games without Patrick Mahomes. Now, as you get on the other side of the 30, I don't know how that's going to play out. I mean, people forget there was a year where, you know, Matt Cassel won 10 games in New England and got himself a big old deal in Kansas City because Brady had an ACL, like, which is part of the reason the Brady thing's even crazier because he has accrued all these stats and he did miss a season.
Yes.
But then again, he played till he's 50. So I guess that offsets that. But like, that's what they've done. This guy's been incredibly pliable, durable. He bounces back from anything. They've yet to have to play without him. And they are football geniuses at finding a way to make the last play in a game, whether it is a touchdown pass, whether it's a kneel down, whether it's a blocked extra point to beat the Denver Broncos, or a blocked chip shot field goal that's less. I mean, actually, I think it was shorter than an extra point. Like, it's just whatever it takes. They do.
Yep. 17 straight wins in one score games. And what's even more impressive is that he's doing it in the AFC with all of these young, talented quarterbacks like a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, a Joe Burrow. There's so much talent at the quarterback position in the AFC, and they still find a way.
Patrick Mahomes has lost one football game since Christmas 2023.
Yeah, he didn't play this Week 18 game. Yeah,
he's lost one football game since Christmas 2023.
That's ridiculous.
And he played, he played all the playoff games last year because they didn't have the bye and they had to go on the road. So he played the full slate, not the short slate, just at home. And he's lost one football game, regular season or playoffs, since Christmas Day 2023.
Orioles have a new advisor to the GM, Adam Jones. They just signed an outfielder, Dylan Carlson. Their owner's in Switzerland making comments.
He might be back by now.
Maybe he stayed. You know, he's a billionaire. He can stay there as long as he wants. Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. What does he think of all this? We'll ask him next here on The Fan.